Call the Board of Supervisors to session. Supervisor Overton, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain Bradley.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you have blessed us with rain and snow, and truly we appreciate that. We need more. We thank you for your watch care over us in those matters. We thank you for all who are here today and the work of the county that takes place without being seen so many times, but here it's very public. We thank you for all those who serve, for those who are in positions of authority to make decisions. God, we pray for wisdom. We pray for understanding on their part. We thank you for the commitment of our citizens and their involvement in their government. And we pray as they go through the agenda today that all will go well, there be lively discussion. But Father, may we be respectful of one another. And out of love, we care for one another. And we just give you thanks for this opportunity to be here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Roll call, Ms. Lindsay.
All righty. Supervisor Howell.
Present.
All righty. Supervisor Cobbstaff. Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
All righty.
All right. Well, I'll start with item 4A. Item 4A, Ms. Nielsen. This is the Klamath River Dams.
Correct. All right. So thank you, Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. And this morning I'm providing an update on the lower Klamath Dam decommissioning project. I do have some detailed notes in front of me, so I'll probably be looking at those just solely because there's a lot of information and I'm want to make sure I get all the correct information out to the public. So in light of recent developments related to the Lower Klamath Dam decommissioning project, county staff has pulled together the information that was provided on the agenda and is providing this update to the board and to the public. This update is broken up into a few sections similar to the staff report that was submitted as part of the agenda. So one, as an introduction and brief historical background, as most of you know, Siskiyou County is home to four Lower Klamath River dams that regional power provider PacifiCorp and the Klamath River Renewal Corporation, or KRRC, are requesting that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission transfer to KRRC for removal and decommissioning. In the early 2000s, PacifiCorp began proceedings before FERC to relicense its operation of its Klamath River facilities. And in 2007, FERC issued a final environmental impact statement that included mitigation measures requiring the installation of new fish passage facilities or the consideration of dam removal. In 2010, PacifiCorp, in coordination with other interested parties, executed the Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement, most of you know that as the KHSA, which established a process for facilities removal outside of the Federal Power Act. This meant that the framework for dam removal for facilities required congressional legislation, which never passed. In early 2016, some parties to the 2010 KHSA entered into the amended KHSA, which did not rely on congressional approval for dam removal. And in September 2016, KRRC filed two applications with FERC. One application filed jointly with PacifiCorp to transfer ownership of the four Lower Klamath River dams to KRRC, and the second to decommission and remove the dams. In July 2020, FERC issued a ruling on the project, approving the transfer of the four Lower Klamath River dams to KRRC, provided that PacifiCorp remained as co-licensee. Understanding that One of Pacific Corps' goals was to not remain as co-licensee. In November of 2020, Governor Newsom and Oregon Governor Kate Brown announced an agreement to provide additional resources and support to advance dam removal and entered into a memorandum of agreement to sign on as co-licensees with KRRC for the transfer of the dams. Since this time, the state has issued its final EIR on dam removal, and FERC has issued the final EIS regarding the project. So those would meet the CEQA and NEPA requirements. The county, through its consultants and outside legal representation, has provided written comments on numerous documents related to the project and numerous activities related to the project, including KRRC's definite plan, the environmental impact report, and the environmental impact statement. Most recently, on November 17th of this year, FERC voted unanimously to issue an order modifying and approving surrender license and removal of project facilities order for the Lower Klamath project. I know it's a mouthful. So this order, through the Federal Power Act, authorizes dam removal, and the order also serves as the record of decision for the final EIS. I know that's been a question for some board members and possibly members of the public. This order allows the dam's private operator to surrender its operating license and allows KRRC and its contractors to proceed with dam removal. So number two on my item is county advocacy in the FERC proceedings. As already mentioned, the county has taken certain actions to mitigate impacts related to the project and impacts to county constituents and property. In 2021, the county entered into a memorandum of understanding with KRRC related to roads and bridges that will be utilized by the project proponents and their contractors during dam removal. To address protection for irrigators in the Klamath watershed, staff and outside counsel are meeting with the state of California, including the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources and the Director of Fish and Wildlife. On November 30th, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife announced the availability of new grant funding. $10 million has been dedicated to Scott River and its tributaries, and $10 million has been dedicated to the Shasta River and its tributaries. Staff is currently working with the department on a date to have the Director of Fish and Wildlife make a presentation before this board on that funding and other related items. The county is also working with the state and Pacific Corps to finalize a memorandum of understanding for Pacific Corps to fund a contracted project manager position to perform project management activities related to the project. This would include assistance in the issuance and administration of county permits, organizing and planning various coordination, drafting of required documents, preparing reports, organizing and evaluating project information, and coordination regarding the local impact mitigation fund, among other activities. County staff will be bringing this MOU to the board on December 13th. County staff is also currently working with the state of California and KRRC regarding local permitting and licensing for the project that falls under the county's jurisdiction. It's important to note that FERC did not make local permitting a required condition as part of their order, but encouraged KRRC to endeavor to comply with local ordinances and permits. However, to the extent that local permitting requirements make compliance with FERC's order impossible or unduly difficult, FERC concluded that such requirements are preempted. So that is a large part of the reason we are working with KRRC on those various permits in hopes that those permits are abided by. Number three, appeal and litigation question. The board members and members of the public have inquired about appeal and litigation processes against the project. And persons and entities in opposition of the project now have the opportunity to review the order and assess whether there is any value in exhausting their administrative remedies before FERC. For the county's part, we have already expended over $1 million in opposition efforts against this project. Members of the public have also inquired about county litigation against the project. The county's outside counsel has estimated that should the county seek to mount a NEPA challenge to FERC's decision in court, the county's legal costs could range from approximately $550,000 to upwards of $1 million, depending on how the litigation proceeds. As an additional consideration, a favorable ruling in such a high-cost litigation may delay the project, but it would likely not stop the project. Rather, FERC may need to merely remedy a procedural issue. Lastly, number four, continued dialogue and transparency. Of course, the county will continue to explore various options to try and address any harms that may result from this project, and will be bringing that MOU for a project manager position to the board on December 13th. The county will also continue to track the decommissioning process and will keep county constituents and the board apprised of any project progress. The county has recently developed an email address for members of the public to submit any questions, comments, or concerns to the board. I will send this email address out to the contacts I have. But this email address is lkdinfo@co.ca.us. Again, that is lkdinfo@co.ca.us, and I will email that out to my contacts. The county will also be developing a web page on our county's website. We are going to use this as a landing page where members of the public can keep up to date regarding the county's activities related to the project, and we will be uploading all of our materials to that, including the materials that were included on this agenda item. Lastly, the Board of Supervisors will be holding monthly special board meetings specific to the project and the county's activities. The scheduled dates for these meetings are included as attachment A of the staff report and will be added to the web page that we are creating. And I believe that the first meeting is January 24th. With that, I wanted to keep it concise but informative, and I'm happy to take any questions from the board.
Yes, Ms. Lee.
I was just informed that, and I don't know if we need to make this announcement, but there was a typo on the agenda Zoom information. The first three numbers should be 829 rather than 826. So if anybody that's hearing this can let people know that it's 829 rather than 826 at the beginning of the meeting ID for Zoom.
Okay.
Thank you.
If there's not any more questions at this time, or if there are, I'll defer to the board, but I'd go to public comment. Supervisor Howe?
Is your statement available? Is that part of the packet or?
Mine that I just read off of? No, it was not part of the packet. I can post it to the webpage and send it out to the board. Okay. And all this information, except for the email address and the webpage information, was included in the staff report as well.
But it's a good summary.
Thank you.
Ms. Chris, is there any public comment online? Please raise your hand.
On this item.
On this item, yeah.
See,
any
none
public
this time.
None online, all right. Board order here. Ms. Chrissy Reynolds, I'm going to limit everyone to 3 minutes just because there's so many people here in the room. Ms. Chrissy Reynolds, and then after her is John Spizzano. So, Ms. Chrissy, you'll be first, and then after Chris, you'll be John Spizzano. If you just say your name, for everybody that comes up, just say your name for the record, and it's easy for back bookkeeping.
Thank you, Chairman Chris. Board of Supervisors, I'm Chrissy Reynolds from Crockville Lake. Thank you for providing the important public update on the current status of the climate dam destruction plans. As our elected representatives, I thank you for your continued objections to the ongoing threats of dam destruction. At this time, I urgently ask the Board of Supervisors please use their power and authority as well as all legal resources to combat further action to go ahead with this situation. We are still unclear as to whose project this really is. If the states are co-licensees, then this becomes a state project. And then we ask that the county stand firm and strong, ask for injunctions or until all of the county's concerns are addressed. We also feel our constitutional rights have continued and continue to be violated by the way these proceedings have sidestepped all normal protocols, such as bypassing Congress, ignoring the plan of conduct, and not having a full and transparent, non-biased environmental impact report that covered all of the threatened endangered species, not just those concerned with the volitional passage. NEPA and CEQA have clearly been not done with the due diligence required by law. FERC voted, but what happened to the record of decision? Thank you for that. Incidental take permits have been allowed for bald eagles, golden eagles, endangered suckerfish, eels, and other species of wildlife. This is outrageous. If things were really on the up and up and would really benefit salmon and do no harm to any other species, human or otherwise, then this conversation would be different. We feel that the county should demand a full hearing before any state actions can do any harm. As our representatives, we have watched you be ignored, our congressmen ignored, and obviously we have been ignored. We cannot allow this to continue. Our county has been given a death sentence. We must do everything we can to fight it. You all took oaths to stand and uphold the Constitution. We cannot let state or federal agents or agencies trample on our Constitution either. Our sheriff is the supreme law of the land. He has legal power and authority to arrest anyone who is causing harm or injury to another. We ask that he use those powers to keep us safe from harm. And we ask you also to do what you need to do in order to keep us safe from harm. Do not let these bullies come into our county and leave us holding the bag. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Chris. John Spizzano, and then after John is Melissa Strong.
John Spizzano. I was here a couple of months ago regarding the building department of this county, and
hold on, sir. Sir, we haven't done public comment yet. I noticed you put item 4A down, which is the Klamath River Dams. But we're doing the Klamath River Dams discussion first, and then we'll get to public comment.
I have no comment on the dams.
Okay, but we'll get to you. I won't skip over you. We'll get to you when we get to that subject, sir.
Yeah.
And then Melissa Strong, I should clarify ahead of time. Melissa Strong, is your comments on the Klamath River Dams?
No.
Okay. All right.
They are or they aren't on the dams?
Oh, Melissa Strong, I'll get to you later.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe you better reiterate this is about Klamath Dams.
Yeah, we're just doing the Klamath Dams first. On the, no one's fault, it's easy to make this mistake, but on the cards it said item 4A, which is what the Klamath Dams are. So that's why I thought you were talking on it, but we'll hold you. But I will call on you later on. All right.
Through the chair.
Yeah.
Just sorry to interrupt. I just want to make sure for the record, and I know Wendy already made this correction, but people might not. I didn't catch it. I thought she was making a correction to the telephone number, and she wasn't. Just for the record, if anybody wants to zoom in on this call, you can click on the Zoom link, or if you're calling in, what was changed was the meeting ID number. It says 826-6811-8340. It is supposed to be 829-6811-8340.
Okay, so the link is correct. It's the typewritten phone number. That's
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I just want to make sure because somebody might not have caught that. I didn't understand.
Okay, thank you. I didn't either when I got the note. Thank you. I appreciate that. The link does work. It's the other number that needs correcting.
All right.
All righty. Thank you.
David Everest.
That'd be me.
Sir. And then after David Everest is Richard Marshall.
For you guys, doesn't have a piece.
Yes, I'm here to speak on.
Go ahead, Mr.
You might need that.
Everest, like the mountain, only Old English instead of Latin.
It's in there for everybody.
Anyways, so. I'm here to speak on why the dam shouldn't be removed. Numerous endangered species. And the fish that is in question never went above the dam because it's a reverse watershed, meaning that it's warmer the further you get upstream, because Klamath Lake is a shallow lake. And under the compact, this board has a fiduciary duty. You could become a party in a lawsuit if you don't act on the behalf of saving the dam, because this board was on the commission with Jackson County, Klamath County, and a couple other counties. And they're the ones that got the state law passed in the various state legislatures, and they're the ones that got Congress to pass it. By the way, none of it's been repealed. So that means I talked to LaMoffa's, Congressman LaMoffa's people, and he's going to probably enter in a lawsuit. And the counties could join with the Congress. Now, they won't be able to do that until next month, but you should be looking at a lawsuit and getting the congressman. By the way, Cliff Bintz from Oregon is interested in it. That's where I'm originally from. I've been living in this county 6 years, and I love the county. I love the lake. I like watching the California cranes, the Oregon spotted frog, that are endangered species. And there's numerous. There's the California, there's the Migratory Bird Act with Canada, and Congress, now, it didn't just go through the Senate for approval for that treaty. It's also an act of Congress. And then you got the Bald Eagle Protection Act, and then you've got the Endangered Species Act. And these are all grounds why these lake dams should not be removed, because it'll kill them all, and you'll, instead of having an open free river, in August and September, Klamath River will dry out at Iron Gate Lake, because before the dam was put in there, that's what it used to do. And so they're not going to have a free-flowing water. They're going to have a river of death, because they haven't thought of dredging. If you're going to remove the lake, they need to dredge it. They need to do core drilling to determine the depth. This is the Army Corps of Engineers' responsibility, and they neglected it. They should have ordered and permitted for core drilling to determine whether you need to dredge the four lakes out. My understanding is nobody has any idea how many sediments in there. And one more thing. The COPCO 1 and COPCO 2 and Boyle Dam have been there 100 years. Think of that. 1 inch a year, that's 300 inches. That's 10 feet of sediment. Have a nice day.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Richard Marshall, and after him, Susan Wallace.
Good morning, Chairman Chris and members of the Board of Supervisors. I'm appearing here today on behalf of our Siskiyou Water Users membership. I'm a rancher in Fort Jones. I'm also representing in our membership our ranch, KRCE, and Copco Lake. Today we find ourselves entering a new chapter of the Klamath Dam removal process, a political process, not one based on strict scientific principles, and which will most likely not achieve the stated goals of producing more salmon. But to the adherence of dam removal at any cost, it will set the stage across the nation for the removal of more hydroelectric facilities. That's really what this is all about. The most important questions unanswered by FERC and its EIS have not yet been dealt with. If you recall, the EIR-EIS, which does not meet NEPA standards, in cases where they identify adverse actions to the river, they conclude it by saying time will take care of it. A comment made a number of years ago by former Director Salazar of the Department of Interior indicated that this grand experiment might take until 2040 to get the answer. That was Salazar who said that. As it stands now, the county needs to take on a new role, that of being the warrior on behalf of the citizens of Siskiyou County and the affected neighborhoods to confront the state of California, which has inappropriately put itself in the position of chain of ownership by becoming a co-licensee. And this will involve damages, loss of life and property resulting from the dam removal process, both during the immediate implementation and the future potential biological destruction. Interestingly, one has to ask on reflection, whose project is this anyway? As you all recall, it started with a private federal project under DOI, and then in 2016, the two states, because they couldn't get congressional approval, they decided to step in and be part of the process. And even lately, in 2021, they decided to become co-licensees. That puts them in the chain of title and also shows a problem for the state of California, which I hope the county will pick up on. And that has to do with Chapter 9 of the State Lands Act, which has to do with taking care of public land, public works law in Chapter 9, which now the state of California is subject to. And I don't think they had considered that when they entered into this arrangement to be co-licensee, but it's something that the county needs to take a look at, that issue. They must also look at the issue of the lands that are being transferred, because in 1955, Siskiyou County sent Frank Lathrop to Washington to testify before Congress about the lands that were being transferred for the dams development. And they were done under license. And this means that when the dams are removed, the license shows that the property goes back to the states, and that then gives power back to the counties under land use and water. And I'm going to give this report here to Wendy, copies of it, and I'm going to give the copy of our 1955 statements made by Lathrop to Elizabeth. You guys can review those and see what you can do with them.
Thank you, Mr. Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
You're after Mrs. Wallace. I can't read the last, but Colby. And you'll be after Mrs. Wallace. You'll be after Mrs. Wallace. What's that?
Susan Wallace from Klamath River Country Estates Owners Association, and we do have a facility right along the river. All these things that have been brought up, all the stuff that we've been asking KRC to do something with and FERC to do something with, they're ignoring us, period. That's all they do. They can't answer the questions and won't. So basically, we're being rejected as a county. They've taken advantage of us because we are a fairly, not a high financial area. And so that makes us a target. We've been targeted by the pot growers, now we're targeted by KRC all along. The whole thing that's been going on here is we're captive by a bunch of shysters and liars, and that's what we're fighting. They don't fight fairly, they don't fight honestly, they just go after us. They're bound and determined to ruin this county, ruin my home, ruin everything we have at the association, because the water and that will, you know, the crud that's going to come down from taking the dams out is going to violate anything we've got there, so we lose that. So are we going to be financially impacted? Absolutely. It's a joke to say that we aren't. And as far as the county's concerned, we have a lot of upstream areas that are growing food for everybody. We ought to quit feeding these people. This is terrible. So the public interest is not being looked at, which has been brought out. Several questions about indigenous people, indigenous livestock, animals, and that sort of thing are ignored. And I don't know what we really actually do to get these people to take a look at us. They don't look at us. We're nothing to them. And that's a terrible, terrible position for not only the people that are going to tear the dams out, who don't care about us, but also our government that doesn't care about us. I mean, looking at FERC's activities, it's awful. They should come here, talk to all of us that live here, all of us that earn a living here. We've got ranchers and farmers. I grew up with them from down south as well. We never put up with stuff like this. My small town was pretty fiery when somebody came in with this kind of a thing, which is lies and trying to basically ruin us. They'd run them out of town. We're about in that spot. And that's too bad. Anyway, that's, as I say, it's going to hurt my association as well, and the water that we'll lose for fire and everything else that we've discussed. And I do want to say that this report, the staff report that Elizabeth Nielsen made, was very good, very concise, really pointed it out, and there's no other item that can be said with it that it shows what kind of a travesty this actually is. Anyway, thank you for your time.
Mrs. Wallace, thank you.
Thank you.
And then Kobe, if you could just spell your last name for Ms. Wendy for the record.
Olson, O-L-S-E.
Oh, Olson, gotcha.
And what was the first again?
C-O-B-Y. I write like a doctor, I apologize.
I'm sorry, what was
it? C-O-B-Y, O-L-S-E.
Oh, Kobe, thank you.
So that bag there, it's got a piece of sage, a piece of Palo Santo, a feather from a raven, and a bag of tea for each of you, because you guys are going to need some peace and some meditation to get through your decisions with all this stuff. I'm a Gemini, so I'm a pretty good speaker, but I never actually realized that in reality, I don't live in New County. I live in Douglas County. Dave is a really good friend of mine. He was in the hospital, and he lives down here, and I comprehend a lot of the issues that you guys are going through with these dam removals. I've watched and I've helped out with watching over dam removals in other areas, and I've seen that the majority of the complacency is actually placed on pot growers, because they're taking all the water after the dams are removed. So you're going to see that in your county. You're going to see anyone that's growing pot in here blamed, persecuted, ridiculed, and have issues after your dams are removed. But the other problems you're going to see are things that they don't actually teach. So through 2020 to 2022, I've got 6 kids. We homeschooled through COVID because it was a simpler way to do things. Something I realized that was not included, that was included in my childhood, was the teachings of the greenhouse effect. I'm sure you were all probably familiar with this. Rainwater evaporates, it feeds the clouds create rain, it comes back down, right? It's a very simple process. It's what we obviously know happens in every environment. Removal of these dams is going to decrease it. And we've also watched this happen in Southern California. And it get blamed on farmers instead of the actual truth of the matter, where the truth is we're reducing dams, we're taking out natural waterways that do actually feed our clouds and seed them and reproduce rain back into our ground. And we're not looking at the longevity of it. Most of these dams were put in, and I can completely comprehend the fact that removing man from nature is something that people are trying to do. The simplicity of it is, once you put man in nature, and you've affected nature in such ways like we have over the last 200 years, you can't do that without creating a very big chasm, a very big hole. So if you're familiar with addiction issues, what do people try to fill? They try to fill that hole, right? If you're trying to fill that hole, once the water's gone, it's gone. You're done. You can't fill that chasm. It's gone. You will not be able to put the farming back into the farming. You will not be able to put the rain back into those clouds. Southern California has watched this happen, and no one is actually paying attention to what's going on. The drought isn't caused just by Nestle, which does have a big factor, but all the dam removals that we're doing are actually creating a bigger chasm for feeding the clouds through evaporation processes that we've been taught since we were children, which are actually proven science. And no one wants to look at that and see that we're causing the drought ourselves. Apologize, my time is up.
Thank you.
But please do enjoy that tea, sage, Palo Santo. There's a feather in there from a raven for each of you. So,
thank you. Thank you. Is there any more in-house comment on the Klamath River dams? And I'll ask again, just because some people might have logged in later on. Any public comment online?
I can talk for 3 more minutes if you'd like. my dad's a hydroelectric specialist if you'd like me to talk about that. But
not online.
Not online? Okay. Thank you. Ms. Wendy.
Well, when we're done, when we wrap this one up, if we could take a quick break, I just want to keep my audio files.
Oh, we can do that.
Thank you.
I could do that. I'll bring this up to the board. Any board comments or questions?
All right. No. I got time.
Oh, we'll do one more public comment, Ms. Wendy.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
That's right.
My name is Mark Fisher, and I'm a resident of Copco Lake. And I have a couple questions about what I just received from FERC, is on all the camping or all the people that are going to be doing this project, I don't see where they're going to house them. Okay, and as I'm when I moved up here, I was aware that camping up here for more than 30 days, you have to move your facilities. And I don't see anything of any permits being done for any of this work. They've kind of like gone over, and, you know, and that's what I have to say. It's, I don't see what the permits are. I noticed that they're going to be using Mallard Cove for putting barges in, okay? And so the heavy equipment they're going to be using is going to be coming down Agar Besway. It's not going to be coming down Copco Road. And I don't understand why they're not using the campground over on the other side next to the dam for this. And, you know, that's all I'm going to say.
Anyway, thank you. Isn't using heavy equipment against a clean water ride?
Any board comments or questions at this time? Not today. Appreciate the public coming in here, making their voices heard, expressing what they needed to express. I had a town hall at Copco Sunday, talked with some folks up there. The county's going to be with you, you know, throughout this process, advocating and representing you through the whole process. With that, we kind of anticlimactic at this point, but I'm going to adjourn the meeting for a couple of minutes just for, not adjourn, recess.
Recess, thank you.
Well, I was getting ahead of myself there. but I appreciate everybody coming in and being heard. Ms. Nielsen, you received several compliments today on that staff report, so you set a high bar. And we're going to have special meetings next year as well on this topic in particular. I do see a hand up. I'll respect that, Mr. Radford. Did you want to talk on this?
Are the special meetings open to the public, sir?
Okay. Oh, yeah, the special meetings will be. Yeah, absolutely, sir.
That's what they're designed for.
Specifically designed for the public, for this issue only.
Yeah, absolutely.
No other board business. It'll be strictly Klamath.
We have one online now.
Oh, one online, okay. Because of the technical difficulties, I'll allow that. Ms. Lloyd Beardsmore, if you can hear us, go ahead. Don't worry, we're not going to adjourn until you can not recess until you're ready.
Battery 100%.
Okay.
Ms. Lloyd,
having been directly involved in this fight against dam removal for over 10 years, in making personal visits in Washington, D.C. to congressional, Senate offices, the Department of Interior, and even the White House, I want to say I have the utmost respect for the county to have used every legal resource available to them to stop dam removal. Ultimately, FERC ruled in favor of dam removal despite all our efforts to stop it. That being said, FERC did hear our concerns. And hopefully, going forward, the county will be able to use a new position to make the KRRC accountable to adhere to every county ordinance, everything along those lines. I support the county absolutely. I know you've done your best. And at some point, we just have to move forward, and the county will do everything they can to mitigate any adverse effects, and I absolutely believe in the county to do that. So I really appreciate all your efforts in trying to stop this, especially the efforts of Ray Hopp. I know you spent countless hours doing everything to stop this, so no, county, you've got my full support in moving forward. I think you've exhausted every resource, and I fully support you. Thank you.
With that, we'll recess for a couple minutes, let the room clear out, and then we'll do public comment.